God is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Those are the two most frequent phrases we find in the hymn book of the Israelites. Again and again, God's love and goodness are the attributes of God that faithful Jews want to celebrate most often when they come to worship. So singing these words, that God is good, and that God loves us, from one Sabbath to the next, begs the question, how do we know that God is good and that God loves us? The writer of Psalm 107 asks us to answer that question ourselves. So the psalmist points us to all the times we needed rescuing in our lives, and then he asks us, based upon all the experiences in your life, how has God proven his love and his goodness to you? How has God redeemed you in the midst of crisis? And the psalmist expects everybody in his congregation to say, oh, let me just count the ways that God has helped me. To help us answer that question, how has God proven his goodness and love to us, the psalmist gives us four examples, four ways in which we might have experienced God's rescue, just to get us thinking, just to prime the pump. These stories are meant to spark our own stories that we might write our own psalm of thanksgiving. My daughter Maggie loves words. She loves the sounds they make as they roll off her lips. I can still remember her as a junior higher sitting in the back seat of my minivan as I drove home from worship one Sunday saying, Episcopalian. I really like that word. I think she liked being able to say piss without getting into trouble. Episcopalian has a lot of hard sounds to it. It's not gentle like Presbyterian. It feels kind of like Baptist, like you've got a bad taste in your mouth, you're trying to spit it out, Baptist. So certainly having Presbyterian on our sign conveys to people that we are a kinder and gentler way to know God. I like words too. I remember the first time I learned the word anthology. It was in my freshman literature class in college. And the text we had was a very thick paperback, probably 900 pages long, and it was an anthology of Western literature. I didn't know what anthology meant. It's a collection of writings that's representative of the whole. And so this thick book was not all of Western literature, but it was the cream of the crop. So I held in my hand the great works all in one volume, and this anthology offered me the chance to master all of Western literature just by reading the best it had to offer. It sounded like a good deal to me. The writer of Psalm 107 has given us an anthology, a brief collection that's representative of the whole. He's given us samples of ways in which God has been good and loving toward us. Expecting that surely everyone can relate to one of these examples, and that we could add to it our own reasons for singing that God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. The first proof he gives us in our lives of the goodness and love of God is the memory of times that we were lost. He says to the people, remember when you were wandering in desert wastelands and unable to find an inhabited place? Remember when you were hungry and thirsty, when you were running out of food and water, you were getting lightheaded, your souls fainted within you? Do you remember how often we used to get lost before there was GPS and Google Maps? All the time, because it was impossible to read a map while driving. But we tried, remember that? Texting while driving was not the first way to be distracted behind the wheel. If you got lost traveling through the wilderness of Israel because you'd used the wrong mountain peak to get your bearings, you were at great risk of dying in the desert. There were no rest stops with bathrooms and water fountains. You could only carry so much water because of its weight. So if you got lost, you were in peril. So everyone who read this psalm could recall a time that they were lost. When they were rationing their water and wondering if they would find a town that would offer them hospitality before fainting in the wilderness. They could remember crying out to God, "Save us, we're lost, don't let us perish out here." And by the grace of God, they stumbled to a place where they could see help on the horizon. The psalmist says, remember the relief you felt. Remember the gratitude that God led you to safety. Remember God's love and God's goodness in that moment. Remind yourself how you know that God is good and that God loves us, because you've got your own stories of rescue when you were lost to prove it. We don't get literally lost when we drive anymore. But you can certainly get lost when you're hiking and snowshoeing. And I can remember the relief of finding a trail, any trail, after being lost while hiking. But we all know what it's like to feel lost in life. Times when we've wandered off the good and certain path. Or times when we just woke up and nothing looked familiar anymore. We didn't know where we were or how we got there in this stage of life. But our circumstances had changed overnight. We had no clue of where to go next or what to do. Remember those times you felt lost, literally and figuratively. When you didn't know up from down and when your survival felt in jeopardy. Remember how God got you through that and led you to a safe place again. Did God seem good? Did God seem loving? Did you want to give thanks to God with all your heart? The psalmist says, remember when you were lost. And that'll prove the goodness and love of God. And he says, also, remember when you were in prison. When you sat in darkness and gloom. When you were in misery in prison. He's talking to people who were either literally or figuratively imprisoned and despairing. And the surprising thing is that this was a prison of their own making. They have rebelled against the words of God, the psalmist said. They have rejected God's good way. They had thrown off God's counsel. They had acted foolishly and selfishly and stupidly, and they had brought their world crashing down around their ears. This scenario is very different than the first example of needing to be rescued. When we're lost, it's not usually our fault. Unless your spouse asked you to stop and get directions and you didn't. You noticed I didn't assign a gender to that spouse. Because women are just as capable of plowing ahead, thinking they know the way when they really don't have a clue. But usually getting lost is not our fault. The directions weren't clear, the sign was missing. But in this instance, the psalmist is asking people to remember a crisis that was their own fault. They were in prison. Well, they were imprisoned by despair because of the stubborn choices they had made. And that's different. Who will help us when we brought this trouble on ourselves? Aren't we just getting our just desserts? I certainly have been responsible for a lot of the problems in my life. I can recall lots of times when I was certain we were going to run out of money because of poor decisions I'd made. What about those times I failed to see the whole picture as a leader and made the wrong decision? There's no one else to blame in those moments. And I've got this great independent streak that sometimes gets me in over my head with home repair projects because I was too stubborn to ask for help. It seems like most of the troubles in my life have been of my own making. When we are the source of our problems, we despair. The psalmist asked them to remember how they had found themselves bowed down in despair. They had fallen down in life and no one was there to help. Because who would want to help them when they had brought these problems on themselves? Did you notice what people do when they're in this kind of situation? They cry out to the Lord. They begged God to help, even though they were solely responsible for the troubles they were facing. And the psalmist reminds them that God saved them from their distress. God helped them. Even when they were experiencing their just deserts, even when God should have been the last one to help because he was completely justified in judging their selfish and stupid choices they'd made. God himself rescued them, saved them from their distress. And that kind of rescue, undeserved in every way, stirs the deepest gratitude of all. Surely God is good and God is loving if God saves us from the messes we make in our lives. How far back do you have to go in your memory to recall a time that God rescued you from trouble that was of your own making? You knew it was your own fault. You realized that no one was likely to have compassion on you since you were getting what you deserved. But you cried out to God because you didn't know what else to do. And God came to your rescue even though you didn't deserve it. The psalmist prompts us, do you remember that? Do you remember how profoundly grateful you were? Do you remember how God had proven himself to be both good and loving in your life story? You see, we all know that God is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Our own stories tell us so. That's why our hymns and songs are full of these reminders. God is good. God loves us. God rescues us from the messes we find ourselves in and the messes of our own making. No matter where you find yourself this Thanksgiving season, as you gather to enjoy your Thanksgiving meal, pause to answer the question, how do you know that God is good? How do you know that his steadfast love endures forever? Look for evidence in your own life story and bring that thanks to your Thanksgiving table. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for a day of Thanksgiving because we are a forgetful people. Probably not a day goes by that you don't rescue us in one way or another. Some days we realize that, and gratitude is stirred and we stop and wonder at what you've done. Most days we probably walk right by your daily rescue, unaware of what you've done for us because we attribute it to good fortune or our hard work. But this week, Lord, we stop and we say thanks. We look over our life story with honest eyes and we see all the ways and many times you have indeed rescued us from illness, from danger, from foolishness, and from the times we get lost. And from the other countless stories we can add to those examples as well. You are good, and you love us. Because we know that to be true, we feel confident to bring to you all these other concerns that weigh on our hearts and minds today. Things that would tell us it's too soon to be grateful. We lift these concerns to you too. And we wait and anticipate for how you will give us a chance to be grateful even about these before that story is finished. We love you because you first loved us. We seek to be good to you because you have been good to us. Receive our praise and worship today. In your name we pray. Amen.